Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and we have our normal crew with us tonight. We have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
We have Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
And we have Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there.
And
I like that we're normal.
Normal?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, I stretch into truth a little bit.
It's the only time of the week we ever hear that.
Well, there's a lot going on in the world today, and every day, actually. There's so much. Our society is so dynamic now. Some people call it divided. There's a push for unity, but it seems like the more they push for unity, the more division we have, because some people just can't stand for us to get along, it seems like. There's always some conflict going on. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on here in our state, North Carolina. I was reading the Capital Connection today, a little newspaper I get, and they're talking about amendment mania coming to North Carolina ballot, which includes voter ID. And Rainer, as chairman of our state legislative action committee, has been keeping up with what's going on in Raleigh. They were called back to an emergency session this
special session this week, yeah.
Okay, tell us what that was all about.
Well, they passed two bills during the session. The first one was because there are six people who've been Democrats and recently changed their registration and filed to run for office.
As Republicans.
As Republicans, yeah. One, including one who was running against North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Barbara Jackson. The bill that they passed as a result of that situation provides that anyone who changes his or her party affiliation within 90 days of filing as a candidate will not have any party affiliation shown on the ballot. So the six people who have jumped ship to run on a different ballot from the one they have traditionally party they traditionally belong to, that little maneuver is not going to work. It's not going to confuse things.
Now, you call it a maneuver. Are you insinuating that maybe they haven't really changed their politics?
I'm certain of it. There have been enough indications in behavior for me to feel flat out convinced that they were playing games.
Mm. Well, there's a lot going on in that arena with this election coming up,
yep.
The midterms. It's hard to trust anybody anymore. It really is. And besides your two-party system, the Democrats and Republicans, you now have the
Constitution Party.
The Constitution Party, which just got on the ballot, and you have your Libertarians and the Green Party. So there's more out there. And as if things weren't confusing enough to begin with the ballots and the way they do things, now we're having all this added to the confusion. So they want to make sure no voters are disenfranchised, but they're doing everything in the world they can to make people say, what the heck? I don't even want to get involved in this.
Yeah, they're purposely confusing things.
Right. Hal?
And this is cleaning something up.
Well, it seems obvious to me that one of the tactics that's being used is that people will wait and see, especially if there's an incumbent, wait and see who's going to run against that incumbent, and then bring somebody else to run against the incumbent, so they split the opposition vote.
Right.
Yeah, and typically right at the last minute.
Right at the last minute.
Right.
And so that's kind of one of the things that goes on.
Right.
And, you know, one of the, quote, candidates that you were referencing here, as they checked the treasurer for that candidate is a lifelong member of the opposition party has never, ever voted in this new party. And so these are lifelong.
You're speaking of Chris Englund, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
Rainer will call names.
Yeah. Well, I think to use the $24 word, obfuscation.
Yep.
Is the correct word. It's just trying to add confusion where it's not necessary.
So Rainer, you're saying that these politicians walked away from the party, but for political purposes.
Absolutely. Yes. And my strong suspicion is, should they get elected, they would behave as if they had never walked away from anywhere.
I just have a question as to how this works. We're talking about the election of judges, right?
In this case, yeah.
In this case, okay. How do we vote for judges? Do we have a list that we have to pick out a few of?
Now they will have an indication. It will say vote for one, vote for two, whatever the appropriate thing is. And now every candidate for a judgeship will have his or her party on it, except these people who have just jumped ship.
And that's new. That's new. They didn't before have the party affiliation. That was very confusing.
Right.
But if you have, let's say you have a vote for two, uh-huh, and you have six names, so you might have more than one Republican or more than one Democrat in that six
sure
names.
Sure, and that's fine if they're real Republicans or real Democrats.
I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out what the ballot is going to look like, and now I understand why it's not just a one-on-one thing, and now I understand why this makes a difference.
Yeah, it could be, but not necessarily.
Right. Okay.
And of course, if this person had filed earlier, would there have been a primary? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that, Bob.
You know, another thing that's kind of related to this, not all of these judges are going to be running in the same districts.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get a chance, go online, go to the North Carolina Board of Elections website and see who the candidate, get yourself a sample ballot of your own ballot.
Yes.
Exactly.
That way you'll know how many. This last primary, we only had about, between four and five people for most people to choose from among.
Right.
Yes.
And this is something we've talked about quite a bit, about educating yourself on who's on the ballot. And this just adds, like I said, some more confusion. Don't wait till you go to the polls and think you're just going to look at the ballot and go down there and pick all the D's or all the R's or, you know, because you can't trust that. You need to look at their records if they're incumbents. You need to you know, find out more about the candidates. You don't have to spend a lot of time doing it, but you need to spend some time doing it. And there are associations like ours, and there's some that are on the left. There's some that are on the extreme right. You know, if you affiliate yourself with some organization, you can talk to people you trust that think like you think, and you know, they'll help steer you in the right direction.
And Rick, it's even more important this time than it normally is, because as you alluded to from the newspaper you were talking about, there are going to be six constitutional amendments proposed on our ballots this time around. Well, the sample ballot will also show you the exact wording you'll be looking at when you get to the point of voting for those issues as well. And that's complicated enough that you need to have some time to read it, think it over, talk about it, whatever. You don't want to face that for the first time when you are in the process of voting.
Right. And Civitas did some polling on that. They showed strong support for voter ID.
Mm-hmm.
At 69%, and the tax cap amendment, which is proposed, 66%.
Mm-hmm.
Constitutional guarantee for the right to hunt and fish polled strongly with 72% support. So, there's a lot of things that you need to educate yourself on, and we'll be doing some more programs on that.
Yes.
We're going to be trying to bring in some of the representatives for next month's public meeting to give us an update on just what changes are and try to educate you more on that. Well, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back right after that.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
Well, Hal, before the break, we were talking about the proposed amendments and all, and I believe you talked with Michael Speciale earlier.
I think Rainer talked to him, but she told me about it. But is that one of the things you were going to mention, Rainer, about the how the names of the titles of the different...
Yeah,
go ahead and do that then. I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's the second bill that they passed, and it does concern the titles of the proposed amendments to the North Carolina Constitution that are going to be on the ballot. Historically, they've turned over titling those things on the ballots to a committee that consists of the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the Legislative Services Officer. Well, this time, and historically, it has not been political. It's been straightforward. However, this time, particularly the Secretary of State and the Attorney General chose to name what the General Assembly has been referring to as the Sunshine Bill, not that or anything like it. Instead, they dubbed it a bill to take power from the governor and give it to the General Assembly. Well, that didn't sit well. So, because of the sort of games that this committee's been playing, the second bill the General Assembly passed will cause all six of the proposed constitutional amendments to simply be listed as proposed constitutional amendments. And then we voters are going to have to read the bill, the substance of it, which will also appear, and make up our own minds what it's about.
Hear, hear. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right. And I understand from some of the reports I've been reading, the descriptions, brief descriptions of what the bill, of course, I'm not going to give you the whole bill right there, but the brief descriptions that were to give you an idea are so convoluted that
I think the most blatant example of that was when they came out with this thing they call NC Connections, and you'd think it had something to do with transportation or internet or some connections, and it did at first, but then it all got taken over to be buildings for the North Carolina University.
So, right. University system, yeah.
Had nothing to do with connections.
Well, I think it's a prime example of how so many of our elected officials, career politicians now, demonstrate that they think we are blooming idiots.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that they can tell us anything or do anything and we'll believe it and accept it. But those days are over.
Yeah.
With.
Well, it isn't perfect, but this General Assembly has taken some pretty gutsy steps to try to stop the games. And so that the when we look at our ballots, if we're careful and do our homework, we should be able to vote exactly the way we intend to.
Right. But the media doesn't do us any justice.
Nope.
Because when you read the media reports, they're talking about the nasty games that the General Assembly's playing and the crooked things that the General
Assembly. And that's not where the nastiness is originating.
Right. But you have to know that because you've done your own homework.
Sure.
The average citizen out there that just picks up the newspaper or turns on a TV or radio show and sees what's being said.
Well, hopefully we'll do some small part in writing those sorts of misconceptions.
Well, that's our goal anyway. Mm-hmm. Diane, did you have something?
No.
Now, Diane, you always do.
Well, while we're talking about that sort of thing to do with the elections and so forth, we went not only to the Board of Commissioners meeting, but we also went to the Craven County Board of Elections meeting. And I think I found out some interesting things there, too.
Yeah, share it with us.
Okay. One of the things is that they reorganized in such a way that now have two Democrats and two Republicans. I asked the question, well, what about all these other parties that might come on? And they said that won't affect anything because it's the two primary parties that get to choose who their members are. So there will be Democrats and Republicans until some other party gets larger than one of those, which it probably won't happen for years. But anyway, they elected new officers, and Matt Schwab, which most of us know, has become the chairman of it. And the vice chair is a Democrat named Ronnie Lovick, and he was elected. And the former chairman, Zeta Trice, is now the secretary. And the fourth member, Brian Gatchel, who is an attorney, he doesn't hold an office. He's just a member. And then they went through talking about this coming election, the general election, and what really amazed me is they want to increase it, make it even larger than it was before. Raina, you got some figures on the costs.
Well, apparently the last time round, $38,000 was budgeted, and because of the increased hours, an additional $21,000 will be needed in Craven County.
And talk about those increased hours. We're going to go to a total of 648 hours. On weekdays, the polls are going to be open from 8 to 7 on Saturdays.
7 to 7. Oh, I'm sorry, on weekdays?
Yeah, weekdays, 8 to 7.
7 to 7.
Sorry, I wrote down 8 to 7, so I guess we don't know. It's 8 to 1 on Saturdays. I do know that, so
yep.
Probably Rain is right.
Why do we need so much time to vote?
I don't know, but it amounts to 648 hours.
If you can't vote, that's why we have write-ins, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't there ample opportunities to vote other than spending so much taxpayer money and having the voting open, ballots open for weeks and weeks?
Another thing,
what are we going to use some common sense?
Well, let me point out something here now. Okay. What you're talking about is, in all fairness, that's because of state mandates.
Yes.
It's not because our local board.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you mentioned that.
They had the option of having their normal office hours only, or if they extended it at all, they had to pick up the 7 to 7 weekday pattern.
And in trying to reduce the effort that the staff has to put out and the judges and assistant judges and people like that, they wanted to look at what sites needed to remain open during early voting. And they had picked four sites, and they talked about maybe eliminating one of those sites. But they'd gotten instructions again from the state that any precinct that had a high representation of minority voters could not be dropped. So it's just so happened that the precinct with the least number of voters here in the county was also the one with the highest number of minority voters. So they couldn't drop the one where the least people come to. So they decided to keep all four. So that's what they came up with. And they had to have, they needed to come to a unanimous decision about how to hold things. Or then if they didn't, they had to do something about going to the Board of Elections and appealing and a whole bunch of other stuff, and or have to be open just one day of the voting period and various things, which they didn't want to do. So it was pretty clear they tried to reach a consensus, and this is what they came up with. Diane seems to want to say something.
Yeah, so this really, it really smacks my brain when I think about this stuff. So what happened to equal protection? Because now we have special protection.
We do.
All right, so that's my first issue. And then the other issue is that when we have all these extended hours, extended weeks, and years ago, it used to be one day.
Yeah. One day.
Okay, so now, and this is only since the end of the 1990s, if I remember correctly, in North Carolina. So now what we see is over the years, we've extended it to a week, now 2 weeks and all that stuff, but it's become an entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now certain groups are entitled to this 2.5 week early voting. And to show you that that has become an entitlement, the Fourth Circuit said as much so in its decision when it struck down our omnibus voter ID law. So when they tried to shorten it, no, African Americans you did that to punish African Americans and, restrict their voting, which in reality means that they were entitled to that. Well, you took away a Sunday from their ability to go souls to the polls. That's an entitlement.
As Rick has mentioned, remember, a lot of times they said the voter ID was a detriment to minority voting, and it's not so at all, because we'd had the voting ID, we didn't have any drop. In fact, we had an increase of minority voting.
The Supreme Court has weighed in on that.
Know what I'd like to suggest? That all of that approach and way of looking at things is an absolute insult to minority voters.
It absolutely
They are fully
is.
Capable of doing anything anybody else is.
Well, I'm a break in here just for a moment and try to give you a little bit of truth.
Okay.
Please do. Lay it on us. Lay it on us.
It has nothing to do with minorities. Okay?
So where's it coming from?
It's all coming from the left trying to manipulate the elections. The minorities, if it had something to do with that, if there was any truth in that, where's the evidence that all these minorities are being disenfranchised?
There isn't.
Where's the evidence? Where are the court cases? Because if it was true, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and all these other left-wing organizations out there would have their lawyers into courts.
Yep.
There'd be tons of cases out there. But as Hal pointed out, we voted for voter ID here.
Mm-hmm.
It passed. And we had one primary election where we used a driver license and we scanned them. And it went so smooth.
Yep.
And there were no issues with that.
Yep.
Okay? So it's all made up. It's all...
And it went faster, too.
It went much faster.
Uh-huh.
It's all made up, fictitious disenfranchisement because it doesn't exist. It's not there. And it's politics. It's dirty politics. And it's just not started now. It's been around for a long time, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse. The same reason that most people are afraid to talk about it, because if you talk about it, you're a racist. You're labeled. Everybody's been labeled, and you're afraid that you'll be seen as a racist or that you're prejudiced or that you are trying to disenfranchise somebody.
Well,
but it's just not factual.
We know better, and so we can have the freedom to speak up.
Diane?
Well, the mainstream media loves to say that there is no such thing as voter fraud. There's no evidence of voter fraud. I submit that there's no evidence of voter voter suppression.
But au contraire, right? there is actual right. evidence of voter fraud.
The numbers are out there. There is no evidence of voter suppression or voter targeting or voter discrimination. Yeah,
that's true.
But there is evidence of voter fraud, and there have actually been trials and convictions right. on it. President Trump set up the commission.
Absolutely.
And then he got rid of it. Does anybody know why he got rid of it?
Because not enough states wouldn't cooperate.
Yeah. He said he wasn't willing to spend all that money through the legal system to get into the state's problems. So he disbanded the commission because he saw all the legal battles that were coming. And that's the problem.
I just want to point out there was an organization probably a number of years ago, 8, 10, called Through the Vote. In Houston, Texas, I believe they still exist. And they started going through the voter rolls, looking for duplicate addresses and that sort of thing. And they came up with something like 1,500 signatures for one particular district, that registrations that they could prove were illegal. They had 1,500 people living in a parking lot.
Oh, Lord.
It's ridiculous. And it's happened all over the country.
Including here, where I think there were 800 kids living in a parking lot at NC, what was it?
UNC, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Living in a parking lot that held, I don't know, 30 cars or something like that. The one other thing that I would institute, if I had my ways, I'd bring voting down to a single day, and I'd institute the purple thumb.
Amen. 100% agree with that.
What's the purple thumb?
Don't you remember the Iraqi elections when everybody had dipped a purple thumb?
You had to dip your thumb.
You got permanent dye on your thumb.
Yeah. Don't we have a voter integrity speaker coming in soon?
We haven't got it scheduled yet, but we're working on it.
Okay. I knew we were going to get to that.
Well, let me give you an example. Reading out the same little paper here, the Capital Connection. What do you make of the fact that 70% of same-day registrants in New Hampshire used an out-of-state photo ID to vote in the presidential election of 2016? Oh. It probably depends on your party affiliation, as does your reaction to an effort to make 16 the voting age in Michigan.
Oh my God.
Well, when we lived in Massachusetts, it was a standing joke that on election day there were buses going into New Hampshire from northern Massachusetts, and they voted.
Good grief.
Poor New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the Heritage Foundation tracks voter fraud cases on its website. And in North Carolina, entries there are slim but instructive. Local progressives point to an audit done by the State Board of Elections after the 2016 election, which found that there were only 508 ineligible votes cast out of a total of almost 4.8 million. Well, that sounds insignificant when you read it that way. But how many races were won by less than 500 votes.
Yeah. Ask Bill Cook.
Yeah.
Ask the sheriff in Plymouth, Beaufort County.
Yeah.
Yeah. His was 22 votes, right? Bill Cook won by 22 votes.
Wow. And if you go back a bit further, you might note that a WTVD story that more than 35,000 people may have double voted by casting ballots in North Carolina and another state in 2012.
Yeah, Jay Delancey had some data proof of that. With Florida.
Right. Florida and we have counties. Tennessee. We have counties in our state that have 114% voter registration. You know?
Very efficient.
Yeah, they're really good at getting
too efficient. And,
again, it's important that, and we're going to talk about this in the second half of the show. That was one of the topics I don't want to talk about, but it's very important that you get energized and get active, because people are out there already. Trying to rig the election. I'm going to say it like it is. They're trying to fraudulently gain votes. And you can put a stop to it if you'll just get out there and get active and participate.
You know, there's one thing that the General Assembly could do. We've been talking mainly about voter fraud. There is also election fraud possibility.
Right.
When the data is sent to one central place, there are ways that it can be manipulated. There have been some signs that might be happening. If the data were sent, the same data from each county were sent to two different places with two different computers, they should get the same result, and that would be a safeguard against election fraud.
Right. Well, here's the truth. Again, with all the fraud that goes on, with all the conniving and manipulating to try to sway the vote, the truth is, if all the Christians, all the conservatives would show up at the polls and vote their principles, it would override all of that fraud.
Amen.
Amen.
It would override. When you look at the percentage of turnout, the reason they get away with it is because too many people sit at home and don't go to the polls and vote. Yeah. They don't vote their principles or their convictions. Right. So that's what we've got to work on. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors and continue this conversation.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Which is a wake-up show, because that's what we're trying to do, is wake people up and get them to get involved in the process as an American citizen. It is your responsibility to be involved. And, I mean, look, we got non-citizens that are very involved. So we need all the citizens to actually get involved. We've been talking, especially off the air. That's why I was so confused when I came back. We have some very dynamic, interesting topics and conversations during the breaks while we're waiting to come back on. And this one, I'll go ahead and throw it out there and get it started, and we'll all jump in, chime in on it. talking about, we have a lot of people now. The biggest growth in registered voters is in the unaffiliated registered voters. And we were talking about why. And there's different segments and different reasons for that. You have those that have become disgusted with their political parties. They can't stand either one of them. So they want to break any affiliation they had with an established establishment party.
Sure.
And so now they're unaffiliated. Well, these people aren't totally ignorant of the process. They've been involved in it. They just didn't like the way their parties were acting. So they've left those parties. But there's another segment out there of young folks that have never voted, who are registering and are registering as unaffiliated because they don't like what they've been seeing in politics. They don't particularly like either party. And now they've got more choices coming in. We mentioned there's the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party. And these people are looking for guidance. They're looking, you know, for truth. They're wanting somebody they can trust. They want honesty. And folks, it's up to us to provide that. You know, you need to engage in conversations and see if you can help some of these younger folks understand the process and the system. And, you know, the socialist movement is alive and well. And we have socialist candidates on the ballot. And we know we are not a socialist country, and we don't want to see us become a socialist country. So, you know, some of these young folks are easily swayed. And if they're in Massachusetts, I believe it was, or New Hampshire, wherever we were talking about, they're trying to get the vote lowered to 16. Lord help us if that happens, because those folks are really influenced easily.
You know, I wish every voter who's a newbie at this and searching for what they think and why they think it and that sort of thing could take that Miracle of America course that's based on Cleon Skousen's work.
Now we're giving that course coming
next
up soon.
Month, yeah. Because it talks about how our founders settled on the form of government that we have, which is designed in ways that are different from anything that had ever gone before for a reason. They were much better educated than most people are today. They understood other civilizations, what worked and what didn't work, what caused their downfall, and so on. And it goes through, I think there are 13 different lessons, and it goes through what the thought process that our founders went through, and also looks at the various elements of the Constitution, from the legislature to the executive to the judicial branch, the first 10 amendments, the amendments since then, and so on. It gives a person a foundation and a way of looking at things that gives you a sort of North Star. When you are have been brought up in an environment where people talk about what is your truth instead of what is the truth, you don't have the right sort of mindset to sort through the weeds. The kind of knowledge that's in that course gives you a North Star to figure out what is true and what isn't true based on principles that don't change. Human nature doesn't change.
Right. Plus, it's also, you've got history to look at.
Yep.
We've seen all forms of government, and we've seen what succeeds and what fails. And tell us more about this. It's Making of America mm-hmm. is the name of it. And we're giving that class in Havelock, I believe, at the
Freedom Baptist Church, 600 Lake Road in Havelock. And the first session is August 31st, and it runs through October the 12th. And it's each Friday night, and it starts at 6:30, and it runs through those lessons. But it's a comprehensive understanding of the founder's original success formula and why it works.
All right. And if you can't take the class, I'm sure you can get the book on Amazon, I believe.
Yeah, and it's The Miracle of America.
The Miracle of America. There's also another one. It's called The 5,000-Year Leap. We give
great
that
one, too.
We give classes on that also. You can also get that on Amazon. And if you are interested in taking this class, The Miracle of America, that's going to start in Havelock, again, the date?
The first one is August 31st.
And there's 7 weeks of it, and they're going to do it on
13,
Friday. 13, and they do it on Friday evenings.
Okay, if you're interested in taking that class, then just drop an email to Hal at cctaxpayers.com. Let him know you're interested, and he'll put you in touch with the instructor on that.
Yeah, and one final thing. The course itself is free. They are requesting a $5 donation for materials, and there will be a good deal of materials that go along with the course.
Great. Diane?
Okay, this course is amazing, and everybody should take it. Now, let me tell you how amazing and inspirational and eye-opening this class is. I'm an attorney, and I went through law school, and I thought there was one way to look at the Constitution and look at federal law and things like that, and that was the way judges have told me I need to look at it. And then I stepped away from my job. I had some time on my hand, and I thought, well, let me take this course. Let me understand how the Constitution was written and what it meant and what it said and what its intent was. I took the class. My whole thinking changed, and I regret that they don't teach this to, you know, potential attorneys in law school, that you just learn it from what judges say and rather than really what it means, because that's really what judges are supposed to be interpreting according to what it means and what it says. Textualism, originalism, and things like that. So this course changed my life. I write on the Constitution. I talk about the Constitution, not because of what my class taught me, but because of what this Making of America taught me.
Wow. What a great testimonial. Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. Also, folks, parents, please listen now. I know you're getting your movies from somewhere, so whatever source you're getting them from, please search for Monumental. It's out by Kirk Cameron. It's several years old now. But if you haven't seen the movie Monumental, sit your kids down and let them watch it with you. It tells you about the founding of our country and our forefathers that came in and settled here and started it. And it's about a monument that most Americans don't know anything about.
Massachusetts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Monumental. Take a good look at that. All right. Well, seems like we've covered a lot of ground there as far as getting elections taken care of. I want to talk about a couple of other things. One of our sponsors is Jeff Adelette with the County Compass. And every year, for 9 years now, because this is ninth annual Oriental Dragon Boat Race and Festival. Now, folks, this is a lot of fun. You're going to enjoy it. It's August 10th through 11th. It's at Grace Harbor, River Dunes, Oriental, North Carolina. Teams consist of 20 paddlers, one drummer, and at least one alternate. Ages are 12 and up. Or you can sign up as an individual and go to OrientalDragonBoat.com. The team and individual registration tab there will take you where you need to go. You can make out your check to the Oriental Dragon Boat. And you can mail that in. All the details are there at OrientalDragonBoat.com. Again, if you got any questions, you can also call Flora Mormon at 252-675-9424. And again, it's the ninth annual Oriental Dragon Boat Race. Hal?
I just wanted to add to that, Rick, that you don't have to be an expert paddler or even have a rowboat or fool around the water. Rainer and I volunteered, and we're on a boat that was sponsored by Norman Sanderson when he was running for the North Carolina Senate, or that might have been when he was running for the House. But at any rate, we got out there, and we actually became team members.
Wow.
And had a wonderful time, and it was really great. Everybody that was there just thoroughly enjoyed it. And the races were really close. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Sometimes it'd be seconds difference between one boat and the next boat.
And actually, the trick, if you want to call it that, is staying with the drummer. Everybody dipping their paddle
right
in at the same time. So it isn't the most powerful necessarily, but the most well-coordinated.
And it's great atmosphere, great excitement.
Yep.
Kids will love it. It's a family event, and I think everybody should at least go to one of them. So again, that's orientaldragonboat.com. And we're going to take a break to hear from the rest of our sponsors. We'll be right back.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market. Now under winter hours, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as I mentioned earlier, our regular monthly meeting for August is going to consist of some of our elected officials, representatives. I'm pretty sure we can count on Michael Speciale. We're going to talk with Norm Sanderson and John Bell and some of the others there and try to get them to come down and give us an update as we get closer to the elections on exactly what's going on with the amendments and any changes that have been made and just a legislative update in general. So we're looking forward to that, and we'll get more details on our website, cctaxpayers.com. So just keep your eye on that, and we'll let you know exactly who's going to be there and what details are as soon as we get them all ironed out. Hal?
Rick, I want to mention another thing we're going to do at that meeting is, you know, we had a Second Amendment fund game that we had, there was a sign that we located in a restaurant saying guns are welcome on premises, and some verbiage that went along with that, and we had this little contest. Who knew where that was? And Reverend Ray Griffin won the contest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and he's agreed to be there for the meeting, and the owner said they would be represented at the meeting, so we'll have a little fun with that, too.
Oh, all right, good, yeah. Well, we have a lot of fun at those meetings, as well as a lot of information is exchanged, and we find them to be very informative. Sometimes we have part of the people are on one side of the issue, and part of them are on the other side of the issue. And then after the meeting, they all get together and hash it out, and sometimes people's minds are changed. Their opinions are swayed. So it's a very interesting process to be a part of.
The conversation is lively before the meeting begins. The conversation sounds like a beehive after the meeting, formal part, closes.
All right.
The formal what closes?
The formal part.
Oh, I thought you said the formal bar. Coffee
no,
bar.
You're missing something, though. You just encouraged people to come to the next meeting. That's what you just did.
Well, they'll be disappointed, huh? Okay.
Well, you know, Rick, I would encourage people to get involved with candidates that you favor and help them. Get out there. Help them.
It works.
They need everybody's help.
Yeah. Right.
It does work.
Yeah.
It does work. You know, I appreciate candidates that get out and canvass the area and actually meet and greet people instead of relying on nasty ads.
Yep.
And well, we got some information today on one of those. There was a race during the primary, Walter Jones and Scott Dacey. And Walter Jones, I see, has filed a formal complaint against Scott Dacey now. So that's not over with yet. That's still going on. And that was over campaign ads.
Yes.
And, you know, that takes away so much from the process when you have to get involved in that type of chicanery or whatever you want to call it.
When it happens, I think it's appropriate to have follow-up action that have teeth, because you want to discourage that kind of behavior.
Yes.
Well, we had hoped on this show to be able to get to something to do with how to campaign for people and how to help your candidate of your choice and things like that. But, you know, we run out of time. Maybe we can get to that in a future one before the election is over.
Right. I was going to talk with Diane. She was attending a Get Out to Vote meeting earlier today. And tell us something about that.
Yeah. So the key is really to mobilize and to organize and organize precincts, organize your district, and organize your county, and to do things like go with petitions on certain issues, hot button issues. With that, you get people's contact information. You get to check and make sure that they're at the address. You know, that have they registered? Are you registered at this address? It turns into an initiative to get out the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure people are registered. Look for those that are just moving into the state, and to make sure that they are registered. Of course, you want to do it for the party you're interested in, but you know, there are people coming into our state, and that's because the Republican legislature has been so successful at making this state the kind of state you want to move into and do business in. You know, maybe some of that's the good consequences. Sometimes there could be some unintended consequences, like you're bringing in people from the North who don't share our values, you know, from states like California, maybe don't share our values. We got to be, on the offensive, not offensive, I guess offensive. We have to be proactive. We have to, you know, make sure that we solidify that we are a conservative state. So we really do need to mobilize and be organized and not sit back.
Right. Absolutely.
The legislature's instituted conservative principles. And
yeah, and we want to make sure that, you know, those are firmly in place, and I believe we will be getting the influx of people that don't necessarily think like us.
Wrap us up, Al.
No, I don't know that I can do that, but I think it's tremendously effective to go talk to your neighbors within your own precinct. When you go out and talk to people that you know, or within that precinct, divide it up into teams that go to different neighborhoods, mm-hmm. go door to door, and that is very effective. And that's harder to do, though. But if you wait until election day, be sure to have a presence there, like a canopy up, flags up, make some noise, carry signs. And you'd be surprised. That has a big effect. And if you got a handout, a palm card, we call it, and go over that with the people, you can be very effective with that.
And they say if you actually talk to people, every time you talk to them, it increases their likelihood that they will vote 6%. So if you go one time, you find out they're interested in gun control. Mm-hmm. You talk to them in person, they're going to vote 6% more likely than they would have. Go back to them and say, can we count on you to vote? That's another 6% to 10% that they will definitely get out to vote. It's talking to people in person that's going to get them out to vote.
One wonderful campaign that I'd like to mention, that was Jim Corr's campaign for commissioner. He figured out exactly how many votes he needed. And he went to the people that could vote and asked for their vote. And then he said, can I count on you to be there? Then he had a team of people on the telephone to call during the day to anybody that hadn't gotten there and voted yet to make them realize that commitment and go vote for him. That's literally how he won. Now, you can't do that in a huge statewide election or something. Right. But for a commissioner, for close, small thing, oh, man, that was fantastic.
Yeah, they say when you actually answer a question and, can we count on you? Will you vote? And you answer yes. It's almost as if you've promised.
Right.
And people will go out.
Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's show. I think you've gotten the drift, though, the importance of getting out and getting involved in the election process. And look, if you've got teenagers, please take them with you. Take them out and introduce them to the process. Answer their questions. If you can't answer their questions, find somebody that can. If we can help you in any way in letting you know how to get involved, you can contact Hal at cctaxpayers.com or Rick at cctaxpayers.com, and we'll be glad to assist you. Like I say, we'll be having more education classes. Probably the 5,000-year LEAP class is going to be reinstituted here shortly, and that'll help your teenagers learn a lot about the history of the founding of our country. Well, thanks for joining us today. Please visit our sponsors. Tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Responsible Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.